Good morning. Happy President's Day, everybody. Joining us this morning with the aid of taping, John Dalby.
So I'm really not here, is what you're saying?
I'm saying that we're going to put tape on you.
Wow. And it's President's Day.
It could be duct tape.
Are they celebrating me?
Yeah.
And that's what I want to know. Are they celebrating me?
I'll use duct tape, the one that has U of O duct tape on it. Just
literal duct tape.
Bring it all the way home, yeah.
There you go.
Are you ready for our why do we say that?
Okay, why do we say that?
All right. Why are horseshoes considered lucky?
Why are horseshoes considered Oh, gosh. It's a good question. Don't know.
In almost every country where there have been horses, horseshoes have been considered lucky. The reasons for this are varied, but the traditional explanation goes back to a tale told around the middle of the 10th century. It is told that St. Dunstan, who was a blacksmith before he became Archbishop of Canterbury, probably not
that
the,
makes sense. Not the progression the makes sense.
Yeah, the traditional career path there, blacksmith, okay, was approached one day in his blacksmith shop by Satan, who wanted to buy horseshoes for his cloven hooves. Dunstan, recognizing the devil immediately, told him that he, the devil, would have to be shackled to the wall before the shoes could be put on. Once the devil had been securely bound, Dunstan made the nailing of the shoes so painful that the devil begged for mercy. Dunstan told the devil he would release him only if he promised never to enter the house of a Christian again. The devil quickly agreed, but asked how he could recognize such a house. Dunstan thought for a moment, then held up a horseshoe. That would be the sign, he said. A horseshoe hung over the front door. Hence the lucky reputation of the horseshoe.
It's so obvious, I can't believe I missed that.
Uh-huh. Have you ever heard of the Archbishop of Canterbury? I have.
Yes.
Dunstan?
No.
No. Well, I could have asked you about why Rice Krispies go snap, crackle, and pop, but that would have been beneath your station on President's
Day.
That's
the actual noise it makes when you put the milk on. It does actually snap, crackle, and pop.
All right.
Oh, now you're going to look it up?
This is a twofer.
Okay, twofer.
All right. Tells you how much stuff we had to talk about today.
Yeah.
All right, here we are. Come on, let me open it. Rice Krispies are made by steam cooking kernels of rice in such a way that each kernel fills with tiny air bubbles and puffs up. The puffed up kernels are flattened and then roasted until they become crisp. When milk is poured on the Rice Krispies, each kernel gets wet and swells unevenly. This causes the crisp part of the kernels to give way and to break with a
snap, crackle, or a pop.
Yes. There you go.
So I got that one right.
You did.
So I'm one for two. We're going to go for two for
no,
three.
No.
Yeah, we could turn off a lot of radios.
That's
that
right. Everyone in the county.
Save a lot of electricity.
Yes. I heard something over the weekend. I don't remember the source. It was talking about real estate. Cost of money for real estate, and that it was thought that it was going to stay where it is for a protracted period of time. The commentator said, no, that's crazy. Nothing ever stays. 5-10 years kind of was the horizon. I think it was one of the president's senior staffers. Don't worry, don't rush. It's going to stay this way for a long time. What do you think?
So you've got a number of things here that are, you know, we're talking about the economy, and a lot of the focus when we talk about rates is on the short-term rates because that's what the Federal Reserve controls. And so they move up the discount window rate up and down to control the economy. They bring it down when...
That's more the fine-tuning.
Yeah, when they want to... heat up the economy, and they take it up when they want to slow down the economy. So that's short-term rates. Long-term rates are driven by some other dynamics, but they're not completely unrelated. There's not a direct correlation, but they're not unrelated. With that said, long-term rates right now, we've seen a little movement on the 10-year, but not significant. And so... for the protracted future, yes, we're seeing most of the economists that we listen to are saying that a rise in interest rates is probably 3 to 5 years out just because of the challenges with the economy moving forward. Plus, you got two other factors you need to think about, and that is, with all of the stimulus we're throwing into the economy, we're cranking up the national debt to the point where if you raised interest rate, the rates go up on the national debt, and at some point, we become insolvent.
Double compound almost.
Exactly. Yeah. And the third element is during the Obama administration, the Federal Reserve brought rates down to the 1%, which was always thought to be the floor. And then that wasn't enough, so they took it down to 0 to 1/4 as the target rate. And so they basically, if you think of it as a car, they put the accelerator to the floorboard, and then they needed more, so they pushed it even a little further.
Then they went downhill.
Right.
Yeah.
And that wasn't enough, so they started a new and interesting idea, and that is called quantitative easing, which could be translated as the printing of money. And so during that administration, they almost tripled the money supply. So the Federal Reserve needs to pull their foot off the gas at some point in time so that they have something to push back on. But they also need to start repaying quantitative easing at some point in time. And so
now that's not just as easy as printing less currency.
No, it's a challenge, and it could take up to 25 years if they slowly and progressively pay it off. So my point here is you've got a couple of factors that have to take place that influence rates to stay down for a long period of time. And that's what most of the economists are talking about. Now, the rates really impact our industry because they're so low that we're seeing our margins being squeezed, and you're seeing challenges in core profitability of banks across the country.
That's why we saw the car wash out in the parking lot this week.
Yeah, no car wash yet. but because rates are low, we're doing very well in the mortgage markets, and PPP is bringing in revenue to the banks over time.
So it's coming in through different doors at this point.
At this point, but that's going to all dry up at some point.
Yeah, obviously the PPP is not going to be there over 10 years.
No. Probably this is the last year we'll probably see anything from that.
Understood. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with the bank.
Easy for you to say.
Yes, from Redwood Capital Bank. Got the important part out. The money supply is something that is an intriguing concept. I know we've done a couple of shows on that. But the $1.9 trillion getting kicked out, somebody did a number, and they said that it was the equivalent of every American owing $66,000 or receiving $66,000. That's what it is per person as of the time, whatever the population was. And I thought, if they really wanted to stimulate the economy, do a third of that amount, cut everybody a $25,000 check, and you're not nearly in the hole, but then you don't get the special programs involved either. It's got to be frustrating for you to see the ignorance that we have got in the general community when these numbers get thrown around and people getting excited about, oh, I got $1,000, I get a $600, I get a whatever it is, and people thinking that there's no associated pain with those dollars.
From your question, there's kind of a built-in assumption that government is not efficient.
Yeah, I'll go there.
So if we spent $66,000, if your numbers are correct, you know, using your numbers, and the end user gets $1,500, there's a lot of bureaucracy and
processing and handling fees.
Yes, exactly. Yes, so, yes. There is a ton of pork built into these things, and you know that's the sad part about it is, certain people are benefiting from all the government spending more so than the general public sometimes, but you know, vote them in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and there was the thought of supporting local governments that have been impacted, da, 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 da. Okay. I don't think that individual businesses are being benefited to the same or supported to the same extent as the city of blank or the county of have been, or the states. Yeah, I keep feeling like this is somebody pulling the blankets back and you see what's really going on underneath and then trying to slam it shut really fast so that nobody really thinks that they saw what they saw.
Well, you do have a lot of governments that are in trouble. Most of the problem that I have seen, at least that I'm aware of, has to do with their pension programs and that they're not fully funded.
Yeah, labor associated.
And they are all, they're promising and giving out much more than they can afford to do so. And
now, does that sound familiar at the federal level?
It does.
I mean, it's kind of like the same thing on a different scale.
Yeah. So, at some point in time, you know, that thing has to collapse under its own weight, not unlike our national debt situation, because we are definitely accumulating it faster than our GDP is increasing. So, the question is when and where, and there are those economists that do not concern themselves about it at all, and others that are panicked about it. So I don't know where the truth is anymore. And the other problem we have is economic theory, you know, that I grew up with, you know, as I was going through school and, you know, in the early years of running the bank, over the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, all those theories have been thrown out. They don't seem to, you know, be in effect anymore. So what is the new economy and how do you manipulate it and how do you understand it? And
you're in a different laboratory, Mr. Peabody.
Yeah, I'll talk to one person about the economy, that's an expert. And I get one opinion, I'll talk to another one, and both of them sound absolutely convincing, and they are totally in opposite directions. So I don't know where the truth is anymore, and the old adages and the old economic theories, you know, don't seem to apply anymore.
So if somebody who is familiar with this stuff, that's your pretty much your job,
mm-hmm.
and you're kind of running around with one foot nailed down. What about the rest of us that are less knowledgeable, have less time to be able to donate or designate? What chance is there for us?
Yeah. And so, yeah, the challenge that I have is what they're doing may or may not work. And if it doesn't, it's you and I that are going to pay the price.
Right.
Yeah, that's the bottom line.
Always is.
Yeah.
Right? In theory. You know, we'll find out how that plays. Any thoughts what the impact would be if the governor is recalled?
I've never thought it through. I haven't. And I don't know what would change. I mean, it depends on who the next governor is and are they going to do anything differently?
Well, there's got to be something through the state with the state programs. And, you know, when we were talking about municipalities and mm-hmm. government. Things would change because they always do with new guy in the saddle, so to speak.
And I haven't paid much attention to the efforts and what the reasoning is. And
oh, you know what the reasons are.
I could speculate, but I have not researched it and I have not read anything
about
it.
You're not right there on the cutting edge on that.
No, I haven't signed any petitions or anything like that either.
Oh,
so
really? Okay.
Well, again, I haven't thought about it, and I haven't had the opportunity.
Apparently, a lot of people don't go up to the second floor.
Yeah, there you go.
Go looking for you.
I'm hiding.
Yeah. Regionally, bullish on 2021?
You know, I think 2021 is going to be okay for the most part. You've got some real challenges in certain sectors. You know, they're obviously the restaurants are the ones that are going to be the most impacted.
Well, we'll talk about some of those foreseen challenges when we come back. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. John, before the break, we were talking briefly about the area and the overall economic health of the area. There are some really cool things that are kind of out there, I guess maybe a little closer than the horizon. You know, the fiber optic thing. I mean, I can't see anybody in opposition. I know there's some, but I can't see too many people in opposition to that clean, significant income, new folks coming into the area, smart folks staying in the area. I mean, there's a lot of neat stuff with that. The fish, not farm, but the fish raising facility is kind of cool also. Both things are long-term, and they're not chewing up any of the resources. So I think that there's some something is starting to bubble a little bit, which is kind of nice for, you know, the home front, so to speak. But neither are going to happen this coming year, or this current year, rather, possibly the upcoming year. What makes you feel as positive as you do for 21? Let's set aside restaurant for right. the moment, because that's really a unique challenge at this point.
Yeah. The restaurants have been impacted solely by COVID, and that's it. And those are decisions that are, you know, that are made by, as you mentioned before, the governor, and then passing down to, you know, the county medical officer and so forth, and making decisions. And it seems like it's the same small group of business people that are paying the price each time we lock down, is because a lot of, you know, the majority of employment is essential, and so it continues on whether COVID exists or not. I mean, we have to be careful. We have to wear masks. And
yeah, the whole visitor serving, restaurants, lodging, that kind of stuff is really taking it on the chin.
Our lodging's doing pretty well.
Now it's coming back up.
Yeah. We've seen, in our industry, we call it hospitality. That's a really scary sector to be lending into right now. But our clients have done very, very well in considering the circumstances, and part of that is we are a driving destination, not a flying destination. And so
and we got a lot of government contracts that allow these guys to have the rooms, yeah.
So that's doing well. The other thing we have is, and you could say this is good or bad, because I could argue both sides of this, we have a considerable migration of people into our communities that are coming from mostly from the south, from the L.A. basin and the Bay Area, seeking to leave the urban areas for a more rural environment.
And refugees, cultural refugees.
Yeah, and you could call them equity immigrants, because they sell their houses for millions of dollars, you know, a little two-bedroom, one bath for $1 million, and come up here, and they have plenty of money, and just seems like real estate's cheap. And so prices are going up, escalating very quickly. There's very little inventory available,
which is keeping a lot of the service sector folks
busy.
Going, maybe a little too much, but they're going, yeah.
Contractors, building supply companies are all doing well. And so I don't see anything getting worse in 21 than it was in 20, but I do see things getting better. Hopefully we'll be able to get the restaurants open again. But then you have the big question, are people going to change their habits? How have they already?
Yeah.
How will our habits change as we come out of COVID? Will people feel comfortable dining in a restaurant? Will people feel comfortable ever being in a crowd again?
Well, it's part of that recognition, I suspect. But the thing that I see is a significant cultural change is the lack of need for commercial space. How many people that had offices before don't now understand and realize that they don't need to, whether it's a spare bedroom or whatever their workaround is. That, I think, has a chance to really set us up very positively down the road, particularly with this big cable thing coming into town. Holy cow. You know, if we don't have the challenges that we've had for the last little bit, why wouldn't somebody want to be here if they were a consultant or if they could work from home? Why would you want to work from home and live in San Francisco?
Yeah. And do consultants and those types of people who historically have had to travel a lot and want to be near a significant airline hub, if, you know, conferences right now are being done online, though I don't enjoy them.
Yeah. The bar time, you kind of lacks, doesn't it?
It's certainly cheaper and takes less of my time. But on the flip side, I tend to be doing a lot of work on my computer while I should be listening and paying attention. Notes.
I really think it's less effective.
Yes.
It might be better time efficiency, but as far as walking away with the information, not so much so. Yeah. But it, talking to a couple of our buddies that are in the lodging, they think that the leisure side of travel is just going to absolutely explode. The business side, 4 or 5 years.
Especially in our area, I do see.
Yeah, for an area like ours rather than you know, some of the others. So I think one of the canaries really will be the air service out of here. Mm-hmm. Do we get back up? Do we have that direct to Denver again? Do we have a couple down to LA again? Are we one of those? Or are we going to go back and languish like we did for years before some of those breakthroughs were occurring? That to me is one of those.
Yep.
Yeah. You too, huh?
Yep.
Yep. KINS, direct flight from here to Eugene, right?
That would be nice.
Yeah. It's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this President's Day with the guy who thinks this is for him, John Dalby.
President's Day?
Yeah. That's kind of what you claimed in the beginning.
Fake presidents, right?
Yeah, Silent B.
Yeah. Well, if I had a feeling, it'd be hurt right now.
Yeah, okay, just fine.
So you know,
yeah,
Brian.
Glad to know you're numb.
Yeah.
We have talked in the past about bank hours and days open and days closed. For those that may be looking to come or to do at a bank today, obviously that's not going to be possible because of, you know, bank holiday. But how do you determine what is a bank holiday, what isn't? Is it state holidays? Is it federal? Do you have latitude to be able to do Dalby's birthday holiday or other things that might be a little bit more unique?
No, it's very regulated. It's determined by the federal government, the Federal Reserve, and we're closed on the days that they don't function. So money is not moving when we're closed. So today is President's Day, for instance, the Federal Reserve is closed, and therefore transactions don't take place.
Now, what about weekends?
So the rule is that if a holiday falls on a Saturday, then there is no holiday on Monday. But if it falls on a Sunday, then we get Monday off. So I do believe this year both Christmas and New Year's is on a Saturday, so we will have two less holidays in 2021.
State holidays, do they come into effect at all?
No, it's strictly federal
holidays. It's all federal. So why or how are some banks able to be open on Saturdays if the Federal Reserve is closed on Saturday?
So they basically they're holding over all the work, and it's taking place on Monday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, if it's an internal transaction like a deposit, they can show it as a deposit, but it'll go through their Federal Reserve on Monday as opposed to on Saturday.
So when they say business days, that's why it's weekdays.
So we could potentially open on a holiday if we really wanted to, but money's not going to move.
And that's kind of the bottom line. That's why you're there.
Yeah, why bother?
Unless it's moving from my pocket into yours.
Well, then it might be important.
Yeah.
No, be the other way. Yeah.
So everybody's looking at the calendar for next year, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, get those holidays.
Yeah, it is kind of depressing for the staff when they realize they're not getting any freebies for Christmas.
Now, can you do a half day or a short day?
We will, there's a couple holidays in which we will close at 3 rather than 5. Those being Christmas Eve and the Friday after Thanksgiving, because that's a very slow day. So those 2 days we have traditionally closed at 3 o'clock. We don't do that for New Year's Eve. Because there are transactions that people are trying to get through before the end of the year.
Last-minute panic runs, yeah.
The last thing we want to do is have a client show up at 4 o'clock to get something done that has to be done by year-end, and we're closed. So we stay open for our clients for that day.
Now, can you stay open later if you want? You could go, in theory, till 10 o'clock at night if
But everything you do you at that to. Point in time is going to be done tomorrow.
Oh, so for like New Year's Eve, that wouldn't...
That's
really benefit anybody.
Correct. It would be happening the next day. We got to close out the day.
5 o'clock local time?
Yes.
No.
6 o'clock on Friday, so we can close out. It's still same day.
Oh, there's a little variance for that.
So 6 o'clock really is the witching hour.
Okay. Huh. All the stuff you ever wondered about.
And
answered,
more.
Answered here today,
right
including
here,
horseshoes.
On Kins.
That's right.
So I'm putting a horseshoe up.
It would make sense.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by, bud. See everybody tomorrow.